Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. Coming up, the former head of Customs and Immigration, and at 11, Washington Post political reporter Dan Balz on what Midwestern voters are now saying about the Trump administration. But we're turning to the political junkie Ken Rudin. Hi, Ken. Good to talk to you again. I'm back from a couple weeks vacation, and it's nice to chat with you.
Pardon me? Oh, I'm sorry.
Drifted off there for a minute.
Yes.
So I want to get your sense of something that I'm going to be talking with Dan Balz about at 11 o'clock. One of the things that Midwestern voters told him was that voters who supported the president are recognizing to get some of the policy stuff they want, it's a trade-off, that they have to accept what a number of voters called inexcusable behavior, and that they're a bit uncomfortable with the trade-off. And I'm interested in how you interpret the accommodation that these voters are making.
Well, it sounds like there's a big difference between these voters and Republicans in office and Congress themselves, because the Republicans I'm hearing from in Congress are basically very happy with the way the president is conducting himself, not only ideologically with judges and positions and things like that, but behavior as well. Voters seem to be torn, and I think Dan Balz really hits it on the head there. They may not be happy with his outbursts, his Twitter rants and things like that, but if you were not happy with 8 years of Barack Obama, if you wanted a conservative path as promised by Donald Trump, you're getting that. You're getting that with the kind of judges you're getting, not only with Neil Gorsuch, but also, you know, federal judges all the way down. You're getting that with the ending of regulations that were imposed under Obama administration. So if you're a conservative, you want smaller government, you want less regulation, you're getting that with Trump. Of course, the problem is all the other stuff that goes along with it.
I hear you saying then that voters are in a different place where their elected representatives are. Yes?
I think that's true. I think if you look at primaries up and down the lot, and you see it in almost every state, you have seven more states coming, having primaries tomorrow. But many of those Republican candidates, almost all the Republican candidates, are steadfast, not only steadfast supporters of the president, but trying to outdo each other as to who is more pro-Trump. So, you know, you keep saying that whether Donald Trump is taking over the Republican Party. This is clearly, at least when you look at candidates running for office, if you look at the incumbents already in office, this is clearly Donald Trump's party. You think of the Jeff Flakes and the Bob Corkers and the Jeb Bushes of the world. They don't represent the Republican Party as we once knew it. It's now, it's now the Devin Nunes's of the world, who will insist, you know, from the beginning that the president is right, and the Justice Department and the FBI and other law enforcement agencies and intelligence agencies are overreaching.
Ken Rudin is with us. If you've just tuned in, the political junkie, if you have questions for him, including what President Trump has been tweeting this morning about pardoning himself, we will open the phone line, 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828. You can ask a question for Ken on Twitter at @CarrieNPR. So I know you've been seeing what the president's been tweeting this morning about, of course, he could pardon himself. It's an interesting follow to the way that Rudolph Giuliani was carefully talking around this on the Sunday shows, Ken. So what do you make of Giuliani's thoughts about this and now what the president has decided to come out and say?
Yeah, I think the president is the president is taking Rudy Giuliani one step further. Basically, what Rudy Giuliani is saying is that the president has the right to pardon himself. Of course, if he did so, that would lead to impeachment.
Yeah, I mean,
Donald Trump takes that.
I was just going to say, Ken, I watched Giuliani on a couple of the different Sunday shows, and he was, fairly dismissive of that. to then have the president come out and say, I could do this, adds more weight to something that he seemed.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead. Right.
No, I was going to say, I have the absolute right to do that. Right, exactly.
Well, so I guess, what do you make of that?
Well, again, it's I mean, it's very possible. It's very possible that Donald Trump really feels that he's done nothing wrong. It's really possible that all these contradictions and everything he's saying and the things he's doing, he really believes is the right thing. I mean, just the other day, we've seen the disparity between, the White House has said all along that the president had nothing to do with Donald Trump Jr.'s statement about his meeting with the Russians back in 2016 at Trump Plaza, Trump headquarters. And then the president they say, no, the president admits that he did have a big say in saying what Donald Trump Jr. I mean, that whole farce about the meeting with the Russians, that it was about adoptions when everybody knows it was to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. And I think that one of the reasons Rudy Giuliani doesn't want the president testifying before Robert Mueller is that the president has a way of, even if he is innocent, and of course that's the argument of the White House, but even if he is innocent,
yeah.
You're right, the president has a way of just stepping on his own truth.
Call here from to master of understatement there. Call here from Joe in Minneapolis. Hey, Joe, your question for Ken.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to see what, Ken, your opinion is on whether the Democrats are going to be able to at least take the House. I don't actually see it because I don't know their message except that it's always against Trump. But what are your thoughts on that?
Ken?
Well, that's a great question because, I mean, everybody seems to be saying that while the Senate may not be within reach, the House, the Democrats need a net gain of 23. And if they could do really well in tomorrow's primaries in California, if they're going to do well in Pennsylvania, that may be half the number right there. But the Democrats seem to be eating their own in a lot of these districts, of course, in what's going on in California in this top two primary system where everybody, every candidate runs on the same ballot, regardless of party. In some districts that seem so winnable for the Democrats, for example, in several of the ones that were like to run against Dana Rohrabacher in Southern California, I think there are like 15 Democrats running in that. And if they split up the vote there, it could enable just one or two Republicans to squeak in, and the Democrats lose that opportunity.
That's what you mean, Ken, when you say Democrats eating their own, right? They're dividing their support because so many of them are eager to get on the ballot, yes?
Exactly. And there is two different ways the party is dealing with it. There are some indications where the official party, the party organization, whatever that means, is deciding to decide to weigh in on which candidate may be stronger in November. But that, of course, alienates a lot of grassroots and progressive and Bernie Sanders kind of Democrats saying, look, let the voters decide. So, for all the talk about Republican dissension and whether we support Trump and whether we're supposed to stand up to Trump, the Democrats are still fighting over their own message. And of course, as we learned with Conor Lamb's victory in the Pennsylvania congressional district, you can't just be anti-Trump, as Conor Lamb won right. In that Republican district. He also ran against Nancy Pelosi. He ran on pro-guns. So there is no one size that fits all for the Democrats. And I think they feel that, other than saying that we don't like Donald Trump, which seems to be what Gavin Newsom has been saying, running for governor of California to succeed Jerry Brown, a lot of Democrats have to decide what other message there is other than I am not Donald Trump.
Yeah, Ken, I'll recommend Jonathan Martin's piece in The Times to anybody who's interested in reading some good analysis of this, primarily focused on the Senate, but reviving a lot of the themes that you were just talking about. Another call here from Max in St. Paul. Hi, Max. What do you got for Ken?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Ken, thanks for taking my call. It's a question, I guess. So, I remember Obama puts mustard on a cheeseburger one time, and it's World War IV. Where are these voters at? I mean, if Obama would have tweeted one of these things, pick one tweet that Trump sent in his administration, Republicans would have been calling for his impeachment, regardless of what Obama's accomplishing. So how can these Republicans, voters, rationalize what he's doing versus, by the way, the relatively low effectiveness he's had? It's just really frustrating and frankly upsetting.
I remember Hillary Clinton didn't leave a tip at Chipotle when she was campaigning in Ohio, and that was the end of her candidacy. And the fact that Rick Perry was not going to be president because he couldn't remember the third cabinet department he would cut, this is, seems like a million years ago. Now, what is going on with some of the candidates, the fact that the president of the United States will pardon a race baiter like, Dinesh D'Souza, who has talked about, Barack Obama being a boy in a ghetto and making fun of blacks and Jews and things like that.
Dinesh D'Souza, though, was pardoned for campaign finance violation.
That's not why he was pardoned. But this is the guy, I mean, he pardoned Joe Arpaio, who is known for all these, the racial and racist things he's done. So it's just, the mustard on the and the mustard ketchup debate seems so, it's like Kuemoi and Matsu, it's like 7,000 years ago, whereas now anything goes. Could you imagine talking about Kuemoi and Matsu in the same sentence as mustard and ketchup?
Where does Nixon fit into this? I'm just kidding.
Oh, don't worry, I'm saving it for you.
Ken, I am of two minds of this. The Republicans would have got, I get it, and I know why people are frustrated with that, but I don't think this is a new world order. And now I'm going to get a bunch of tweets from people, you're normalizing this, but this is what's the word I'm looking for? It's a
Twilight Zone.
It's just so different that I guess the normal standards don't apply, and it doesn't feel all that insightful or constructive to keep saying, back then if the Democrat, it just doesn't feel like it applies.
I agree completely. Remember after Mitt Romney lost in 2012 and there was this autopsy after the election?
Yes.
There are new demographics. Nobody's saying that anymore. And matter of fact, the Republican Party has not only moved in a different direction, it's winning. I mean, whatever you think of it, I mean, they have the largest number of state legislatures since, I think, the 1920s.
And governor seats.
So whatever they're doing, as abhorrent as it may feel to a lot of us, there are, in many ways, they are winning. And that's the bottom line.
The other thing that you and I have talked about, and I thought of you immediately when I saw this, is the coarsening of our political culture. And I saw the slur from Samantha Bee against Ivanka Trump. And I thought, from a feminist perspective, how crushing that was. And I thought, we've been talking this morning among our producers about this show again, about how much it really matters to Americans, to average Americans, that our culture is coarsening, not just political culture, but a lot of the rest of our culture. And I thought I would turn to you for some insight on that, because I know you think about this a lot.
As soon as you started talking about this, my heart sank, because it's one of the most despicable words in the English language, a word I've probably never said in my life. No, not probably. I've never said in my life. The only, and this is no defense whatsoever, but TBS hired Samantha Bee to be vulgar or to be edgy. ABC didn't hire Roseanne Barr, for example, to be racist and anti-Semitic. It's a fine line, but to me, Michelle Wolf and Samantha Bee, whatever you think of what they have to say, is maybe comparing an African American to Planet of the Apes. To me, that's a line that is beyond excusing or defending. And the fact that Donald Trump gets angry, not because of what Roseanne Barr said, but the fact that ABC's president didn't apologize to him, but instead apologized to Valerie Jarrett. I mean, look, the coarsening of language, think of the Access Hollywood tape. Right. And so for Sarah Sanders to go up and say what Samantha Bee said is despicable, and it is despicable.
But it is despicable.
It is despicable, yes. And that's, you're right, the coarsening of our language. And you talk about normalizing it. I mean, this is, I've seen some things on social media where people said, well, now I can use that word.
Yeah.
My God, really?
Ken, I still want to believe that most Americans want to go high when they go low. I mean, you remember that from the campaign years.
Michelle Obama.
And right, I do think most Americans want that. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I think the ultimate answer is going to be on November 5th. But it's not going to be only a referendum on
It's
on
not
Trump.
Just about
I mean,
politics.
Far more than,
yeah.
Right, exactly. It's far more than Donald Trump and far more than politics. You're absolutely right. And I think you're right. I think there is a good there's a good basic instinct in this country, you know, a good heart and disappointment with the way our society and language and everything has just, you know, gotten into the gutter. But I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore.
Good to talk to you, and I'll talk to you next Monday on that happy note.
Thank you. You're going to leave me so depressed like that? Thank you very much, Carrie. I'm going to start talking about Nixon now.
The political junkie,
Bye,
Ken Rudin, with us every Monday.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Carrie at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.